Hello, this is going to be a presentation on why you should study from the Study Skills, a mini course. Introductory lesson for Seton students in grades 7 through 12. This will be an ad lib presentation on my experiences on why you should study. My own personal experiences. My name is Manuel Vicente and I work at Seton Home Study School in admissions and also in math and in Spanish departments. It says in your page 9 of your mini course, or your first page, as a Christian, you should study because God blessed you with intelligence and you have a responsibility to use the talents God gave you. You know, you have a special blessing as a Christian, as somebody who has been taught their faith in a very profound, in a very complete manner. There are many people out there whose Christianity is just cultural, who really have not been given the gift of fully participating in the sacraments and the full teaching of the Holy Catholic Church. What a great gift. And see, you have it. Who is given more of it is expected of him. That's what it says in the Bible. He who is given more is expected of him. There are people out there in the world that will do anything for the opportunity to study as you have. Don't squander it. I have known of Haitian boys and girls that don't have any light at their house, and whatever study books that they are able to get their hands on, they will be able to study them by the light of a ship that comes into the harbor. They will actually go to the harbor and sit there at the dock and wait for a ship to shine their lights. I have been a missionary in Peru, and I have seen in the missionary school how these poor children in a poor neighborhood in Peru, very, very poor, in one case, part of a house fell on top of one boy that was in seventh grade because the house was inadequate. And these children will be, by 10th and 11th grade, be studying calculus. I saw them do it, and I saw them study by themselves without the teacher present in the classroom. You would not expect, unfortunately, in this country, you really would not expect this to happen here in the United States. You would expect once the teacher is gone, the little wads of paper start flying in the air and everybody's having a good time. These children were, they had their test coming the following week. They were studying. They were in 11th grade. They were in 10th grade and they were already studying differentials and calculus concepts. They take it seriously. School is taken seriously all over the world. And why? Because it is an opportunity to better yourself. It is something that cannot be taken away. In a communist country, where I came from, Cuba, a communist country, even if you had a deed to your house, if it was by law and by documentation your property, your house, your business, or whatever, that was all gone. It was taken away. The government changed by revolution, and the people in power decided that, hey, that's no longer your house. And hey, you can't do things here anymore the way you were used to doing it. So you were forced to leave the country. And many, many people felt compelled to leave the country because they just couldn't raise their children right. But they valued education. My parents valued education. Why? Because what's in your mind is the last thing that they can take away. What you have, the abilities that you've been able to develop through practice and hard work, are the last things that can be taken away. So my education was not in a Catholic school. It was in public school. I just barely received the sacraments. You know, there was no emphasis on religion, but there was emphasis on studying and on learning. And it just surrounded me. It was around me everywhere. It was in the atmosphere. So I studied. I studied hard. I didn't know everything about the faith. I made mistakes. And by the time I got to college, those mistakes caught up to me. And I didn't study as much as I should have in college. But in high school, I excelled because I was impressed with the importance of making a life for myself and using all the tools that I had to better myself. And you know what? In the 1960s and 1970s, bad things were all around me. But in my little community in Miami, my Cuban refugee community, there were certain values, there were certain Christian values that were part of the culture. Not that people were very religious, but you know, that's where there's common sense. You know, there were drugs everywhere. Not necessarily in my community, just because during that time of history of the United States, drugs were becoming prevalent. But you know, I always had the common sense, you know, I always knew that why should I destroy my brain with these kind of things and with going to heavy metal rock concerts and all these kind of things. I knew that God wanted me to raise a family, that God wanted me to be good for society. So I studied hard. And as it says in your study guide, as a son or daughter, you have a responsibility to be obedient to your parents and to make your parents and family proud of you. And this is taught everywhere. When I was doing missionary work in Peru, the priest one time dedicated the sermon to telling the students at the missionary school how proud, how happy their parents would be if they would really work hard and study. Just as your mother and father have given their lives in daily work and sacrifice for you, so you too must work daily and make sacrifices for them. When you grow up, you will be sacrificing for your own children and family. That is why God gave us a family, to help us learn to be kind and generous to others. I'm going to read to you a letter that is taken from an old Catholic book that we have here at Seton. We have in our bookstore, and with permission from the publishers of the book, it was written back in the year 1969. It was written by the Daughters of St. Paul. So it's a letter from a boy that went to Vietnam. And he wrote this to his parents, thinking that maybe he was going to die. The letter said, don't read. But, you know, after they found out that he had died, they did open the letter and read it. And the boy's name was Mike. He was a powerfully built, quiet boy, just 20 when he died. He had never been known as a specially holy Joe, either at St. Louis parochial school or in high school, but his faith proved to be very deep. In almost every letter home as a soldier, referring to a medal of the Blessed Virgin that his mother had given him, he would say, "She's still with me, Mom." He was faithful to Sunday Mass, and according to his commanding officer, his conduct was exemplary. Thus, deep faith is evident in this unusual letter, but another quality radiates from every line: his love for and gratitude to his parents. Here is his letter from somewhere in the Pacific. Dear Mom, Dad, and Pat, I am writing this letter in hope that after my death it will make things easier, knowing how I feel. I am sure this letter will make you all feel better and more at ease. Rest assured that while we are temporarily separated, we know and can hope and be assured that we shall soon all be together again. As I'm writing you this letter, I'm in very little danger. But who can tell what tomorrow will bring? We must simply put our trust in God to give us the power of victory in temporal things as well as in spiritual things. As I pass on, I wish to leave behind me a thought. I'm in no way in any kind of danger now. You don't have to worry about me any longer. I'm now in the hands of God. Today, knowing that I may very soon be called to give an account of myself, I can say that I'm trusting only in Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, and that He will give us eternal life, love, and happiness. Words of great meaning from the Bible, which was given to me by a very dear friend. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he dies, shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Dry your tears, Mom, Dad, and Pat. A son has been called home, where he waits to be joined by the dearest parents a boy could ever have. Maybe a consolation may be found knowing that when we shall again be together, it shall be as God promised His people. God shall wipe all the tears from our eyes, and there will be no more death, no sorrow, no crying or pain, for the past is past. My life and the lives of my buddies have not been given in vain. Maybe so, some people say, but we have fought and died to maintain those God-given liberties with which we have been blessed. Now, for just a little while, I would say goodbye, and God be with you till we all meet again. I pray God be with you until then. I love you still more than ever. May God bless your loving son, Mike. You know, back in 1969 during the Vietnam War, people were dying for our freedom to do just what we're doing now, to study, to play, and to pray. And right now, people are giving up their lives in Iraq and in Afghanistan. You're listening to it on the news. Please, be appreciative and take advantage of it. As Pope John Paul II said, High school is a time of preparation, so that the more serious your commitment in carrying out your duties today, the more certain and fruitful will be the exercise of the missions entrusted to you tomorrow. Apply yourselves, therefore, to study with great industry. God bless you, and may God bless America. This is Manny Vicente from Seton Home Study School. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.